Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in Romans 5, but before we go there, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for this day, and we're so grateful that you talk to us. You love us. You want to fellowship with us. You're the creator of all, and yet you care about us as a father. So Lord, we come before you asking, Holy Spirit, for you to guide this time, to have your wisdom, your insights be what we gain. Nothing from me, everything from you. And may you direct this conversation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Romans 5 is a very packed full, very consequential chapter. It has so much information in it, so many theological points that it's what happens to me when this occurs is I wind up getting overwhelmed, trying to figure out how to express all of this in one discussion, and I get bogged down. And that's the reason for this being a little bit later than it has been over the last couple weeks. So let's just go ahead and jump on in, because there's just a lot here, and we'll go from there. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know the suffering. We know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through the sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did, who is a pattern for the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the man died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, that many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow, so there's so much here. To me, just being, having peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That to me right there is just, could be a whole discussion. But then also, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So hope, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And Christ actually said the Holy Spirit is better than him, that he had to go away so that something much better could come to us, which is the Holy Spirit. And then God demonstrating his grace and his mercy from the beginning, his love for us when we were still all sinners. This is just a powerful chapter that I've heard so many messages through or about or from. The whole concept of sin through, you know, death through Adam, but life through Christ, with his grace, the trespasses are being wiped away. It's really just such a powerful and thankful book or chapter that it's just hard for me to cover or discuss. But one of the things that I read in numerous, from A.W. Tozer to Charles Spurgeon to Paul, it was Paul Bunyan, it was Bunyan, John Bunyan. Anyway, so it was that really there's confusion about the law versus grace, how the law is, you know, related to the grace of Christ. And Charles Spurgeon puts it this way: there is no point upon which men make greater mistakes than upon the relation which exists between the law and the gospel. Some men put the law instead of the gospel. Others put the gospel instead of the law. Some modify the law and the gospel and preach neither law nor gospel. And others entirely abrogate the law by bringing in the gospel. Many there are who think that the law is the gospel and who teach that men by good works of benevolence, honesty, righteousness, and sobriety may be saved. Such men do err. On the other hand, many teach that the gospel is a law, that it has certain commands in it, by obedience to which men are meritoriously saved. Such men err from the truth and understand it not. So you see that there's just a lot of disagreement and confusion about it. But the key element is but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin dominated or became prevalent, and that the law made it apparent that we were sinning, God's grace was more than the sins. And that's what's happened with Christ. All of our sins, yours and mine, have been forgiven. Not just the past ones, but the future ones. And that's what this message is really all about. God's grace supersedes all sin, as long as we accept the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ and his redemption on the cross. So with that, I'm so grateful that I have that mercy, that I have that grace. And one of the other things that I'm really struggling and trying to do is rest in God. It's to look at his mercies for my satisfaction, for my joy, for my peace, and not look at the circumstances. If I look at the world, if I look at, you know, the troubles that are there, and then also my own, I can become very down. But if I look at the mercy of Christ, I've been finding much more peace, much more contentment. It's not simple for me because I definitely focus on at times the minutiae and whatnot, but the reality is I need to focus on Christ and his mercy and his grace and listen to the Holy Spirit as he moves throughout the day with me. I don't know the purpose of all of this rambling. I hope it was worthwhile to you. I just thank you for joining me, and let's go back to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this day and for your word. I pray that you would be the one who's glorified, that we would grow closer to you, that our hearts and our minds would truly understand what it means to abound in grace. I just pray our spirits would know that joy and that you, Holy Spirit, would guide us this day. May our lives be worthy of you in some small way. I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.